the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Sorry about the delay. This is Larry from the beautiful confines of Panama City, Florida here, where we've been all week on a disaster relief effort. It's been a lot of work and a lot of fun and a lot of fellowship and a lot of growing. Coach is on the road. They're trying to make contact with him so he can jump in here and steer the canoe while we're going this morning. We've got Dale, Pastor Dale from New Orleans, and good old Chad from down in Texas ready to jump in and help us out here. But let me update you just a little bit. I don't know what their final numbers were, but there was, probably close to 50 jobs that were, started and completed this week. Some of them were only an hour or two, and others were almost all day long jobs. But that devastation down here, let me tell you, as a point of view from somebody that lives in South Carolina for the past bunch of decades and have gone through four hurricanes and been down to Katrina right after it happened, this hurricane here is the most devastating hurricane I've ever seen, because the normal damage here is what the pockets of extreme damage were in those other hurricanes. And the extreme damage here is I couldn't have imagined it before I got down here and saw and took a look at it. The extreme damage, what you're looking at there is normal damage around here. What you're seeing on the screen right now is normal damage. This is what was our bad damage, even Hurricane Hugo back in 1989. But you get down further toward the coast and further toward Mexico City Beach out there, down Eglin, the Tyndall Air Force Base, et cetera, that, man, this place down there was blown away. And there's going to be years of recovery. Just getting the topography, just getting the forest looking like a normal forest again is going to take years and years. Those of you that we have events in the future where you can come down and help out, we need your help. Okay, let me throw this over to Chad for a minute, because there's been some stuff going on in the political scene that we on the team down here haven't paid much attention to this week. We've been too busy doing other stuff. But I understand there's some really, really stinky smelling stuff about to happen if this budget bill gets signed. Chad, you want to jump in?
Well, sure, Larry. Thank you. Morning, everybody. As you may know, the committee for the border wall has met, and they have made a decision, and apparently nobody's happy with any of the results, but it's already gone to the Senate for a vote, and the Senate has voted 83-16 with one person abstaining from the vote. I don't know who voted 83. I don't know who voted 16, so who's the betrayedist, basically. If you look at this border bill, you'll see that, in fact, it is an anchor baby bill. And if he signs this bill, if you are on the fence about President Trump, if you're on the fence politically for him or whatever, if he signs this bill, effectively, America in 10 years will be washed away. It'll not be what it is today. Maybe as soon as 2024, in my opinion.
I hear that this bill includes a provision where any relative or any potential sponsor of any child immigrant, whether they came through legally, illegally, parachuted in, or got shot over the border with a cannon, if a child 16 or younger gets into the United States, this bill, the way it is written, says that any of their relatives that are in the United States or any of their potential sponsors that are in the United States cannot be deported. And anybody could be a potential sponsor. What this bill does is it does away with deporting our illegal aliens. Has no provisions about their criminal activity or anything like that. This bill sells our country out.
Amen, Larry. And that's the problem. See, look, folks, if we're going to wait on the government, if we're going to wait on politics to try to save us, then all we're going to do is end up in a FEMA camp. Look, we have to rise up and take action on our own. We have to unite as the American people and move forward. We're not getting any representation. No one's listening to what we are wanting. No one. They're doing whatever they want. And if we're going to wait till the last minute, we're going to get rolled over. How about you, Dale? Where are you at?
Chad, really, it's not that we've been waiting for the last minute. This is just another disastrous bill is what it is. Another $1 trillion in U.S. debt. So that's going to bring us up over $22 trillion, but not of unsecured debt, which puts us in the hundreds of trillions of dollars. This bankrupts America once again. It's been going on for decades. We've been doing this for a long time. When we rejected God, God has turned us over. And the scripture says, and we will be our enemies will possess us at our gates. And that's exactly what's happening. Our enemies are not only possessing the gates, they're overrunning the gates. And that's what that's the ploy. And that is just to bring the people in. And I believe part of it, Chad, and I'm not a doom and gloomer, but part of that is a political plan to cause chaos, to cause anarchy, and then bring in martial law. Which at that point, if you're not sure, the Constitution no longer becomes the power that it is to control and to govern, help. Well, it's really not govern the people. The people are the governed. But it really eliminates the Constitution. What better way to dismantle the Constitution but to force an issue to happen? Yep, you know what? It's kind of like war. You're going to lose men in a battle. They'll lose citizens in the battle in order to get rid of that Constitution, get rid of that Bible, get rid of this God to make us such a we'll be another socialistic country. And then they will come in and rule with an iron fist.
Yeah, the whole situation with this. Now, like I say, I've been out of the news loop. I just caught about 45 minutes of news yesterday as I was delivering meals out to the various teams and stuff. And the 45 minutes I heard, I mean, we have been sold out. The Democrat Party in Congress has written legislation that guarantees the not ultimate, but the soon disappearance of the United States. I mean, that's no other way to look at it.
Hey, Larry, even more than the Democratic Party, the Republicans have sold us out because they had the power. They had the 100% power to block all this and to pass things. They didn't. They're just as guilty, if not more, than the Democrats.
Absolutely. I told Dan from North Dakota this morning, just a little bit ago, I says the Republicans helped build the Trojan horse that is in this bill, and then they opened the gates of the country and invited that Trojan horse in and asked our president to sign it. And if he does sign it, we're gone.
Larry, I think this bill has appropriations of almost $4.5 billion for three foreign countries to build a wall.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
One of the things that I was listening to yesterday that I was looking into is that, we don't always see everything behind the scene. And I hate, let's just kick this can down the road or this thought down the road about our president. One of the things they say, if he signs the emergency act, that any unappropriated monies that are in this bill, which is, I mean, up in the hundreds of billions of dollars, he can designate that to the building of the wall. That's just something. But you know what? I think it's ridiculous. I think the Republicans, they have sold us out. Listen, they have held the Supreme Court. It was the Supreme Court that gave us Roe versus Wade. It was the Supreme Court that gave us Obergefell and Hodges. They have sold us out. We have had all three, the president, the legislative, and the judicial branches. We've had all of those. And what became of it?
Hey, let me tell you what's happening with the wall. You know, but I don't know about the emergency, signing the emergency act and all that and everything and how it affects money. I haven't been able to listen to all the details on that, but I do know this. What's the use of having a wall if you can't kick anybody out and keep them out? The wall then becomes a structure to force us in so they can round us up and put us in those FEMA camps.
Yeah, just think about East Berlin. You know, those people there, they had a wall. Now, I want to say, too, that, see, the president does not have to file a national emergency in order to get this done. There are already codes in Congress already passed. 10 U.S. Code 284 gives him authority to move Pentagon funds and ordered military works to be commenced. And that they don't have to do that. That's already there. Besides, folks, look, the wall is already being built anyway. Well, it's currently already construction, and no one's approved anything. So the Democrats have already been offering $1.6 billion a year. The president asked for $5
billion. Well, and the Democrats put less than $1.6 in this bill. They cut that down. And also, I understand in this bill is a provision where local jurisdictions like states and counties that are on the border, they have veto power over a wall going up in their district. And all of those counties on the border, what do you think they are? I think they're about 100% Democrat counties, aren't they?
Good morning, folks. Can you hear me?
There he is. Woo-hoo. He's driving the truck. He's on the show.
Listen, I understand now why they called Alabama. Can't get on the internet anywhere. And we made our play. When I pulled out this morning, I was going to be live and in color from the back seat of John Hartzler's truck. Sorry about the maybe if I hold up, that's a little bit better. Sorry about all the issues and jumping in here late. I appreciate Larry picking up the torch and Dale and Chad. And here's what I want to say. I have not followed any. I haven't had time really to follow what's going on in the world. And I'm listening to what Chad's saying and what Dale's saying and what Larry's saying. And here's just my gut feeling on it. And I'm not casting aspersions or anything about anybody or anything. That sounds like a bill from hell and something's amiss. That's what I would say. Now, as I said a couple weeks ago, we're going to find out which side he's on. Okay. We're going to find out. And I'm not ready yet to throw him overboard and say he knows something I don't know, or he's totally completely on the other side. But I heard Dale say something, or maybe it was Chad, totally and completely true. This whole battle that we've been fighting is a battle that we've been trusting a team that's not our team. We've been trusting the Republicans. We thought they were on our side, and the Republicans throughout this whole thing have not been on our side. It's been part of the deep state. So. You know, at this point, it looks like from what I've been, again, I'm hearing what Larry's telling me. I don't know. I have not seen the bill. I haven't seen anything about it. I'm listening to what Larry's telling me and what Chad's saying and all that. Well, if that's the case, then we've been sold out. But I'm not there yet, boys and girls, and I'm just not there. Let me switch gears with you a little bit here. And it is a flea flicker Friday. We can't throw all that stuff, throw out on the table, whatever you want to. I want to give a little bit of a, As I've been sitting in the back seat here of John's truck, ruminating as we're heading north, I want to say a couple things. By the way, am I coming through okay? Everybody hear me? Okay, great, thanks. Because we're sitting right now, so this, you know, when we get back, they ran in to get a cup of coffee. So at any time, this thing could go the other direction. I want to give us some reflections here about what we just went through, what I just went through with all the great guys that came down there. Gary Pierce is in the front seat, but he went in to get some coffee. Gary did some statistics last night, or you know, calculate some things. Sometimes we had 29 people, sometimes we had 25 people. Some came and some went, and we divided it up into four different teams. Sometimes it was five different teams, and we tried to hit as many different areas as we could. And Gary's totals last night when we all got done is we did 32 different jobs while we were down here. 32. Now, we had six pieces of equipment. We had three guys. We had Craig Fawcett. We had his brother Merle Fawcett. And we had Rick. My brain goes dead. Rick, I'm sorry. Rick. Anyway. Talbert. Thank you. Couldn't find it, Rick. Rick Talbert. All three of those guys drove all the way from Iowa with pieces of equipment. I mean, to me, it's amazing. And I don't know if you guys know this or not, a piece of equipment, if we were to rent one down, is going to cost us probably a couple $1,000s for the week to be able to do that. Those guys all jumped in their trucks and pulled that equipment down here. And so because we had the equipment, that, as Larry was saying, as a guy who's seen a lot of different tornadoes, hurricanes, never seen anything like it. And that's the same thing everybody says when they see it. I can't believe it. So I just can't believe it. All the trees and the size of the trees and all that. So from our calculations or what we understand, it the average yard, we did one that was unbelievably huge. We did one that was probably 2 acres of trees and stuff that we had to clear out. But going rate's about $5,000 a yard. That's what they tell us. $5,000. If John Hartzler was running our crew and we pulled in with his equipment and four guys to do what we did, it's probably $5,000 per property. So if my math is any good, that means 5,000 times 32, Gary?
Yeah.
How much is that? That's a lot. Is that like $164,000? I'm telling you, folks, that's what we did. And, you know, we kept the being out on cutting up the trees, all that stuff, it wasn't even work. It was fun. It absolutely was fun because we had the skid steers and, boy, I think of Randy Lunsford and his two boys and, oh, my goodness, his son getting on that skid steer and pulling up trunks out of the ground. It was amazing. But Gary Donahoe said, you know what, it isn't even about that, man. It's about the, Chad, it's about the church camp for adults, buddy. Church camp for adults. So most of us are clearing out today. Some are staying. Jim Kraft's still on the ground, and I believe Don's still on the ground, and Mark Trump's still on the ground, and then some of them are just going to kind of go take a day at the beach. Can you believe this? There's a couple of the guys. Rick Talbot, never seen the ocean. I don't know. He's probably close to 60. Never seen the ocean, so he's going to go put his toe in the water today and relax a little bit before they head back home. So I guess I'm just trying to give everybody an update from that perspective of what a wonderful outreach it was. I think we invested about, I'm guessing, haven't looked at all of our numbers. We invested probably about $10,000 into making the whole thing happen. I think we're probably maybe $1,500 short on of it. But I want you to think about that we took $10,000 and we turned it into $160,000 in relief. But you know something else I noticed? You learn a lot about people when you're out. You know, you learn a lot. Let me cut this into two segments here. Segment number one, I learned a lot about the guys I work with. I learned a lot about John Hartzler. I didn't even know Craig Fawcett. I mean, I knew Craig. I didn't know Merle Fawcett really much before this. And I didn't know Rick Talbot much. And then Mike and Evie Swanson and Gabe and Charles, they came in from Indiana. And the opportunity to sit around and meet and talk to these people and look them eyeball to eyeball, and it's very, very gratifying. And I made a comment yesterday morning as we had a little team gathering at the beginning. This is for all of you out there. I think about the people who come and go in your life. Think about all the many friends that I've had over the course of my lifetime, and people coming in and out, and coming in and coming out, and the reality of men of integrity and what that really looks like. I want to focus on that a second. One of the problems we're facing, I think, in Christianity, as I said to John and Gary as we rolled out this morning, it's really, really hard today in America, even in the church, to find a man of integrity. We don't even know what that means anymore. We don't even know. And being a man of integrity begins with keeping your word. Keeping your word. And I got thinking about the guys that were down here, the 29 of us, the people that showed up down here. They all kept their word. And we find ourselves a lot of times in situations that might be uncomfortable for us, and somebody's trying to pin us down to do something. And so we give them double talk and say, yeah, I can do it. Or what? Listen, I'm not trying to criticize. Listen, don't anybody take this personally. That's not what it's about. But I think it's critically important. Maybe I can turn this off. Would this be a little bit? Yeah, I can do that. That's better. I can turn the other way then. There we go. I think it's critically important, my dear Christian friends out there. Boy, I need a haircut. God. We got to become men and women of our word. You know, you think about scripture. God puts his word, his name above his word. Puts the word above his name. Because if his word... He puts his name above his word. Because if his name is no good, his word is no good. If you can't trust the integrity of him, trust what he says. For those of us as Christians, we have to begin to really... We have to really begin to ponder that and think about that. Think about the times that the people that you deal with, your family and your loved ones, have children at your home and they're watching the tick, not be a man of his word. Dad casually says he's going to, I'll be at the ball game, or I'm going to pick you up, or son, we'll play ball tomorrow, or send you the wife, honey, I'll get that done. And just cavalierly throw our name, throw a yes or a no out there without really giving any credence to the fact that your yay is supposed to be yay and your nay is supposed to be nay. That goes to the very heart of integrity, of who we are and what we're about. And I've been pondering it this week that I think probably at this time in my life, hate to be redundant, let everybody know again I'm 66. I think at this time in my life, I'm more associated with men of integrity than of any time ever in my life. Ever. I'm riding with John Hartzler now, and I'm telling you something. I know that if John Hartzler calls me and says, Coach, I'll be there at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, I don't have to be looking out my window to see if he's coming. I know that about Craig Fawcett now. I got friends that come in and out of our lives and church with. I'm thinking I boy streets. I'm kind of nice planning, but I can't come. You got to remember something, that we represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We represent Christ in everything we do. And if you ain't going to do it, don't say you're going to do it. In many, many aspects of our lives. So, my reflection as I look back over the week is how much work I have to do in my own life in regards to integrity. In regards to my own life and making sure that my yay is yay and my nay is nay. Into my own life, being responsible to be where I said I was going to be and do what I said I was going to do. And in my own life, to not do a half rear-end job, to give it the best that I can as a Christian man of integrity. So it was kind of cool yesterday that I was watching them. We're out in the field. We're cutting up those trees and moving that trash. And I'm looking around. Most of the guys are wearing cross hats. And I thought, man, oh, man. Do they even know what's on their head? Or better yet, am I still that guy if I take that hat off? Is that cross still on my forehead if I take my hat off? And I think that I hearken back to when I was coaching football down at Fairfield Christian Academy, and I'm not making fun of Fairfield Christian Academy. I've said this a number of times. I remember many, many times I'd hear a teacher at the academy or an administrator or a parent or somebody say to the football players as they're getting on the bus, "You boys act like Christians now. You act like Christians." And that's exactly what they did. They acted like them. And I think if we're real honest with ourselves, that's why Christianity isn't more respected. And so we look at what's going on. I'm thinking about what Larry was talking about at the beginning and Dale and Chad. Well, you know what the problem is, fellas? The problem isn't Donald Trump. The problem's us. The problem is we don't demand they keep their word.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
Brother, you said this something that, man, and I'm telling you what, it just, man, it jumped in my spirit. You talked about being men of integrity. When Katrina hit, one of the things I was doing, I was helping people get their money, and one of those things was flood insurance adjustment. And I told them, I said, the key word to tell that insurance company is saying that there was a compromise in the integrity of the roof. In other words, the roof was intact, and it looked like it was intact, but the compromise of the integrity of the roof, the damage of the unseen eye, caused for the replacement of the roof. The church looks like the church, but it's compromised. It's lost its integrity. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, listen to this. Now, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, birds have the air, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another one said, "Lord," another disciple said, "Lord, first let me prepare and go bury my father."
Yes.
Compromise of integrity. Another one said, "Lord, let me go and plow my field." He said, "A man who puts his hands to the plow is not worthy." The church has compromised, Coach, its integrity.
Well,
looks like the church.
Amen. See, because folks, listen, we don't hold others to account. We just don't. And so therefore, in the church, your word, if your word's no good in the church, if your Christian brother, I could go on and on of comments I've heard people say about, "Oh yeah, that guy, he's supposed to fix my car. He's supposed to be a Christian. That guy's supposed to be a Christian." And so I was harking back to what Trump and the fact that it's our fault. Well, it's our fault, not just with Donald Trump. It's all of our faults that we have allowed, that we have allowed to us and not hold them accountable. In fact, we laugh about it. Said, "Oh, yeah, Trump said he's going to do that." And we say, "Oh, well, he's a politician. What do you expect from it?" What a thing to say, right? "Oh, politician, well, they're allowed to lie." No, shouldn't be allowed to lie. Because there was a day, I don't have time to get into it all night, but you know this, guys? I've got to tell you something. The word testimony, when you give your sworn testimony, did you know that that comes from the word teste, T-E-S-T-E? Now, I don't know if any of you men are making any connection at all to the word testy. Anybody know what those things are? And testy. Testimony. Your testimony. Because there was maybe it's an old wives' tale, but I shared this down at the Texas Salt and Light Brigade meeting one time. Found it in some reading up research I was doing, that they called it a testimony because they would take two men who were at odds over what really happened to something, and they would tie a rope to their testimonies. If you know what I'm talking about, right? And they would tighten those ropes around those testimonies as they were questioning them. And they found that the tighter those ropes went, the more truthful the testimony became. And we are in the mess that we are in because we have a form of godliness. Everything looks good on the outside, but boys and girls, there isn't a whole lot of integrity on the inside.
Compromising integrity, Coach. There used to be a time when a man swore on the Bible in the courtrooms in America, they believed if they lied that God was going to strike them. There was a time that a Supreme Court justice was not even allowed to be drunk whatsoever, that he would be removed from office. There was a time in our American presidency, in the early presidency, we would never be spewing things like, oh, they're just politicians. They That's lie.
Right. That's right. That's right. Let them get away with it.
Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir, Rog.
I was thinking, would you agree? I mean, I would agree integrity starts with the individual man foundationally. Right. But I would think as men gather and are around other men of integrity, it helps your own integrity. And that's
no kidding.
That's the beautiful. There's so many beautiful things of men gathering.
Amen.
And it strengthens each other in so many areas. But yet the church just wants to grow the preschool department.
Mm. With people who aren't even honest. Listen, I don't know. Is Mark? I can't see my screen. Is Mark Trump listening today? A lot of times those guys are out on, and you know, they're just talking to each other and having a good old time. I don't know if Mark's in there. I don't know if Dan's in there. I'm going to give a second, see if Mark is listening this morning.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on. Say, are you there, Mark?
Morning.
He's there. Hey, yes, Mark. Hey, Mark. Do me a favor. Uh-huh. Pull up that thing that you read yesterday from Dan, if you could. I want you to share that with. Pull that up while Victor testifies here, man. Go ahead, Vic.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, Coach. All I was going to say, well, that's what the whole thing about the fellowship. It is men of integrity that fellowship, and iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of the fellowship. So if you've never experienced the fellowship, well, you've never really seen the convergence of integrities come together. Uh-huh. And that's where the reproving and you know, the enlightening and just growing in the Word of God. That's how it happens.
That's right.
And as far as the testimony and the testy, well, commonly known as a pair of stones. And when it tightened, it was really just, it was showing you, we want to know exactly how true you are to your word.
Amen, brother. And so, Victor, the greater the pressure becomes on us, you hear me, folks? The greater the pressure, the more importance that the truth be spoken. As that pressure is applied, no matter what area of life that you're in, no matter how uncomfortable it is, no matter who you're dealing with, no matter how much you're trying to save your own neck, no matter how much more time it takes you, no matter how much more money it costs you to do it, as those ropes tighten, you are required to be more honest, not less honest, not try to get away with it, just get out of town and get away with it. You are putting your manhood on the line through your testimony. Now, I want to share, as Vic was talking there, something really, really hit me. You know what? You could not have been with us the last 4 days if you were a sniveling snake thief crook. You couldn't have stayed around. You couldn't have been there with us. I'm just telling you, you could not have done it. That there was a spirit in that room of men of integrity that would have been convicting you, and you would not have been able to stay in that room. And that's the whole idea of iron sharpening iron. I look at John Hartzler doesn't cut corners. I'm not going to cut corners. Said, so, you know, when we walk out of here, brothers, when we walk out of here, what we left here is how they're going to remember us. We're going to do it halfway. We're going to do it whole way. So, Mark, I know that you pulled up that email. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit, Mark, and then read
it. Sure. A lot of times we wonder what impact we have on people and what this huddle is all about. Even the viability of your ministry, Coach. A lot of people are on the outside looking in and really don't know. So yeah, we don't get feedback. We just see it. We see people showing up. But we met someone up in at the Iowa huddle. And someone who had heard of you and and gotten in touch, and you sent him to us, and he shows up at the Iowa huddle. So this is what he wrote a friend. He said, "Hey, bud, I'm on my way home from the Iowa huddle. I've been down there since Wednesday conducting my own investigation into this Coach Dave ministry. I have slept with, ate with, and although I have not bathed with, I have prayed with these guys. I particularly observed as they disagreed with one another and yet continued to love one another. It did it not only for me, but for you and others like us who observe from the sidelines and wonder if it's too good to actually be true. To so many of us truth seekers, it only takes a little investment of our logical thinking to reveal the hidden intentions of most men. I have therefore concluded this group of men huddled around Coach Dave to be the real deal. These men have the words of life, the words of Christ. I am filled with joy and love for these brothers of ours in Christ. Just thought you'd like to know." So this evaluation came from a gentleman we met and spent a couple days with, and he's driving, thinking about it and sharing it with us. And this man y'all may have heard of, his name's Daniel Bukowski. So he comes to Iowa, he pitches in, he helps Denny with the huddle. We fellowship, we minister to him. We take accountability for him. We put him under our wing and make sure he's okay as best we can. He heads down to Panama City after he leaves the Iowa huddle, and he's down here with Kent Hovind waiting on us. And sure enough, he shows up here and he works like a dog for the last 4 days. So we have impact, Coach.
Amen.
We have impact.
And Mark, conviction's good for the soul, brother. Conviction is good for the soul. And that's why what we're doing is so unique, man. It's so unique. Somebody else come on in there. Somebody.
Well, Dave, I just wanted to say, it kind of hit me while you were, that's an awesome letter of heartfelt. Yeah, but I also want to say, look, I want to lift up the women of the brigade. That and I won't try to sound like a homer or anything, but happy Valentine's Day. I hope y'all had a good one. But I'm just saying that, see, for men to be able to come together and for men to be able to fellowship and go and do these stuff, you have to have support at your house. And you have to work together as a team and be lifted up and lift up one another. So I just, we don't probably say it enough on the show. We probably sound like we're just men beating their chests and stuff, and women don't get the recognition or whatever. But I just want to recognize you today, and I want to just tell you that you know, we do appreciate, as far as us men, I believe, I can speak for all of us married guys or whatever, we do appreciate the ladies, because we couldn't do it without you.
Hey, Chad, you did sound like a homer, but that's okay. We love you anyway.
Homer.
Thank you,
hey,
Chad.
Coach, I'm gonna go back to the integrity thing. There's a lot there, and I'm chewing on that now. I mean, it's percolating in my spirit. You know, I'll go back to just roofs. I mean, I know construction. The compromise of a roof, you know, when you put down a roof on the house, it's the tar from one shingle to the next shingle that creates the seal for the whole roof. The compromise in the integrity of a roof happens is when one of those shingles begins to lift and the wind works underneath just that one. Man, it's the scripture. A little bit of yeast leavens the whole lump. That wind then begins to vibrate and it begins to go to the next shingle. And that's how you get separation of that tab seal. It's called a tab seal on a roof. Right. It's the compromise of the integrity of the roof. Like you said, we come together. You couldn't come down there if you were a snake oil salesman, because these men were bonded together, brother, and they weren't bonded with tar. They were bonded with the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen, brother. You can't be in an environment like that and not have love and respect for one another. And see, I was reminded, Dale, you were telling that. By the way, let me say this, Chad, as far as trying to butter up the people. Dale Socia is a man of integrity, man. I'm telling you, Dale Socia. You know what Dale Socia did? He brought the king cakes. You don't even know what they are. But those of us who were down there gobbled up those king cakes. Good thing I fasted the week before. Gobbled up those king cakes. And Dale Socia calls me yesterday and wants to know my address. I said, my address? I said, yeah, I want to send you something. So, okay. And so he gets the wrong address. So I gave him whatever. It doesn't matter. We have a new house, so the address doesn't always work. And he calls me back and says, you know, he just bought my wife a king cake. And he's sending my wife not only a king cake, but some chicory coffee. And it'll be there Saturday morning when I get home. My wife and I can eat some king cake and drink some chicory coffee. And I'm thinking about Johnny Burkeen. You guys don't even know Johnny Burkeen. I've known Johnny for a while. Johnny showed up to help. And Johnny Burkeen, all he wants to do is serve the Lord. All he wants to do is bring people to Jesus. That's all he wants to do. He lives out of his van, basically. He drives one of those truth trucks. He comes down there, and he's constantly giving me something to eat and not wanting anything in return. Always down there, how can I help? See, that's integrity, fellas. Integrity is not what can I get out of this. What's in this for me? I get so sick and tired. I love the group of guys that I've surrounded myself with now because their yay is their yay. I've spent my whole life coaching people, befriending people, working with people who you cannot count on. And if the truth be told, the average person who's not a Christian doesn't see us the way we see us. Can I tell you that? We see us as holier than thou. And for the most part, they see us as religious and pompous and I don't even know what word. But the word they don't see us with is full of integrity. They don't see that. So I want to keep focusing in on that because that and in these huddles we get together with guys. That's why I try to encourage y'all to get there. There's a dynamic that happens, that integrity. That hey, David Arthur. I don't know if David's Arthur in here today. David, it's residue, brother. It's intimacy. It is intimacy. And to know that Gary Pierce has my back. He says he's got it. He's got it.
No.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I rambled there for a minute.
You know what, Coach? You know what's really real is that people opening up and I was, you know, being down there, when a full man's man, even like Jim Kraft, brother, will begin to shed tears as he's sharing in a group of men. Yes, let me tell you what, that's real. That's real.
That's real. It's intimacy. It's intimacy. See, come on, folks, listen. I'd rather you say you can't do it than tell me you can and then don't do it. That's the whole key of a football team. When you get in a huddle and they call pro right strong 28 toss, you got to believe the guy beside you is going to do his job. He just can't go up there and line up. When the ball snapped, he's got to do the best he can to be a man of integrity and try to do what he promised everybody in that huddle he was going to do.
And you know what, Coach? If he don't do his job, it doesn't just hurt him. It hurts everybody around him. If that offensive lineman doesn't do his job, it hurts that whole offensive team.
That hurts the cause of Christ, brother. It hurts the cause of Christ. So, I'm going home today. I've always taken an assessment of me and my word and let my yay be yay and my nay be nay. I'm going to throw this one out there. Are you ready for this one? Just curious. Not trying to make anybody feel bad. How many of you called Todd Barham over the last week? How many of you called? A bunch of you said you were going to call him. Just curious how many of you did. That's all right. You don't have to confess. I don't have any holy water or anything to spray on you. Well, why'd you say you were going to do it if you didn't?
I did, Coach.
Good,
I called him yesterday.
Okay.
He didn't answer, and then I sent him a text, so I called him.
Okay.
I called him, and I'll call him today, and I'll keep calling, and I'll keep praying.
Okay, this isn't confession time. I'm not a priest. But if you say you're going to do it, do it. It matters. Somebody, come on in.
Hey, can I expand on the integrity and trusting each other a little bit? You know, those of us in the huddle, we've learned through experience that calling yourself a Christian doesn't make you one. You know, we could have read the Bible and seen that's what it says. But, you know, through experience, we've learned that. And yet we cannot spend our entire Christian lives for each of us individually to try to test everybody we meet and see if they're a Christian or not. Because you'd never get anything else done than be around testing people. So what this integrity and what this trust of men together and what these weeks and weekends do for us is it builds such a bond of trust amongst us that if Mark here tells me that his friend or his cousin or his, if Mark says this guy's our brother in Christ, I don't have to sit there and do my own test to see if he's my brother in Christ, because my brother told me he was a brother.
Amen.
That means he's my brother.
Amen. 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 And by, just one second, real quickly. I just want to publicly tip my hat again to Larry. Larry worked his arse, A-R-S-E. He worked his arse off. I'm telling you, he worked 12 hours a day making sandwiches, cooking meals. And he didn't have to be there. He drove all the way from South Carolina. And, Larry would see less sometimes. Larry and I don't always agree on everything. But we're still brothers in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this. That old boy does what he says he's going to do. That counts a lot with me. Come on in.
I was just going to remark again on this integrity. Being in retail for 36 years, you learn that when someone comes in and tells you that they're a Christian, your radar goes up and you be aware. You know, you either walk the walk, and if you have to tell everybody you're a Christian, that's a problem. And I'm just, you know, anybody that says that's a Christian, I'm telling you, you can tell a real Christian because they don't have to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to wear it on their sleeves. You just know by their integrity and their virtue and who they are. And it's different than the ones that have to wear it and tattoo it on themselves. You know what I mean?
Hey, Denny, by the way, you got some great fruit coming out of that Iowa huddle up there, by the way. Good. Pat you on the back. Listen, folks, let me tiptoe through the tulips backwards here a minute, and let's go back to Revelation 21:8. Because ever since this little flower budded in my heart last week when I read that, I think it was last Friday, Revelation 21:8, the fearful and unbelieving. Do you understand what an assault? Listen, what an assault on the character of God it is for us not to believe what he says. Have you ever really considered that?
Amen, brother.
He is the very embodiment of truth. We pick up that scripture and we read it, and all those things he says in there, and you guys could quote them as well as I can. Go ye into all the world. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And the righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no. All of that stuff is in there. But the truth of the matter is, we think he's like us. He said it, but you just can't really trust him when the times get tough. Because me, as a Christian man, when times get tough, I cut some corners, and I'm made in his image after all. So if I'm made in his image, you know, did God really mean? He didn't really mean that, did he? He really meant for you to lay down your life. Come on. And see, that reflection of what we are supposed to be, an image of Christ, we're getting tripped up because we think he's like us. We don't realize we're supposed to be like him. And the Bible says in him there is no shadow of turning. Isn't that what it says? None. We are his image bearers. We are crucified with him. He dwells in us. In him we move and live and have our being. In him and through him. And yet, he says in that day, the unbelieving. Wow. Remember, that's written to believers. That scripture is written to believers. And he's telling believers, some of you ain't believers.
Amen, coach.
Amen. It's good stuff.
I'm looking at the clock. Somebody help me bring this thing on. What time does it say up there, Jim? 53?
5:53.
Somebody help me bring this thing
on. Can I add one thing, Dave?
Please do, Denny.
I'm back on that integrity. One of the things in the last couple of years being home and everything, and I go over that, but what the Lord's really shown me and taught me the last few years, instead of, you know, you hear people talk about how they got a good deal and God blessed them and somebody went bankrupt and you got something for 10 cents on the dollar or whatever.
Right.
The Lord's impressed on me, instead of waiting for somebody to go broke as a witness, is to go and help that person, even if I don't know them, how to help them from not going broke. And you see what I mean? That's the testimony.
Yes.
I mean,
yep.
You talk about Dan, you talk about these people. We could have said, well, we don't want to help him. Or, I think of David Arthur's testimony. Everybody could have said, well, I don't want to help him. And, you see what I'm saying? We need to be different than the world. We're not waiting for somebody to go broke. We're going to go help them so they don't go broke.
Amen. Amen, Denny. And when David Arthur moved out here, is David in here today? It doesn't matter. When David Arthur moved out here from Maine, I made a commitment to David Arthur that I was going to help his ministry. Now, I don't know how many months we're into it. We're into a year. I don't know. So what? Did I say, nah, that's enough. That's all right, David. You're on your own now. Or am I going to follow through and be a man of my word and help him with his ministry?
Hey, Coach.
Vic.
Yesterday, I saw David's show. And then in the after show, we were talking about Save James, the little boy that's going to be chemically castrated. So right away, he asked us to go ahead and get in there and call. So I called Cornyn, I called Ted Cruz, I called everybody yesterday. And then I went and actually I signed the petition, and then I shot a $20 bill to David and to the college right there, because that is a big deal. David was very upset about that, and I prayed for him. And I prayed that he keeps having the strength to go and take on all these causes that are just justified.
Amen, Vic. Hey, folks out there, you say you support David? You got to say, yeah, I support that David Arthur. Boy, he's telling the truth. That David Arthur, man, we need more like him. Well, he needs to be in every church in America. I really support him. Did you send him any money?
Right. Hey, Coach. You want to know what's horrible? We have all these people going to public office, Maxine Waters, Dianne Feinstein, et cetera, and they go in and they're just like us, and somehow they come out millionaires. Well, I want to understand this. Where's the part about the conflict of interest that everybody else does in business that they're exempt from? You know what I mean? Somehow they privatize profits, but they socialize the losses.
Because we're a captured nation, right, Vinny? We're a captured nation.
Amen. How about sharing the wealth all around, right, brother? I mean, come on.
Don't forget, our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And Amen. He owns the hills that the cattle are on.
That's right.
Never forget that, brother. If God wanted you to have $10 million in the bank, it'd be there tomorrow.
Amen, Danny.
I don't know what I'd do with it, Dave, if I did have it. I'm trying to wrap this thing up. Listen, guys, when we got started off here, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to get on here today. So I just thank God that Alabama's finally wakened up here. I'll wave to Judge Moore as I go by here, and then I was able to get in here. And I apologize, I wasn't a little bit more prepared than what I am, but I didn't have the means to be prepared. Couldn't get on with that. So I just want to encourage all of you and continue to encourage all of you to get in the game. Get in the game. We have an event. Try to get to it. Organize an event right where you are. Stop saying you're going to do it and not doing it. Stop doing that. Stop living your life like that, saying you're going to do stuff and then not following through on it. Because whether you realize it or not, it says a lot about you. And so, point being, we love you. Hey, it's in the rear view mirror. It's over. Come on, man, let's move forward, and let's move forward as men and women of integrity, not as the world defines it, not as the world defines it, but as the way our Lord defines it. Anybody else?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, hey, George.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I just turned on the local news. We're getting some ice here. So but I turned over to Fox, and it said Trump's going to declare a national emergency. So I don't know what that means, but that's the most recent thing I saw.
Yeah. I'll tell you what it means. It means we're going to go to war with Venezuela. That's what it means.
Might be.
Well, that's a stretch.
Well, no, Coach.
Not really.
One of the things I did hear yesterday, listen to politics, which I rarely do. I was in my son's, in my 19-year-old son's truck because I was fixing his windows on his truck to make them go up and down. And he's got a politics channel on. He's listening. He's 19 and he's listening to this stuff. This national emergency thing that if he signs it, it's supposedly that it will allow him to direct unsecured monies in the omnibus bill or whichever it is to be able to go towards the wall. Now, of course, the Democrats are going to, you know, try to send it to court and stuff like that. But that's what I think is probably that whole objective. And you're right, man. I'm just waiting to see, is this guy, and once again, we don't see everything, but man, he is, you know, some of the people that are around him are just as crooked as a bent stick.
They are.
Hey, Dale. Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Coach, I know you're not a Chuck Baldwin fan, and I get
that's
it.
Not,
I,
that's not true.
What
that's,
he did.
Not, that's not true. That's not true. Go ahead.
But with that said, you guys, I implore you to go to his recent article. This is not just about Trump. This will help you understand how Zionism has affected every – he goes into graphic detail. And then at the end, he apologizes for all the 30 years he supported Zionism as a pastor. I implore you to read it because it will help you understand what's going on at the top level of our government. I believe if a person doesn't understand this, you'll be confused on so many fronts. If you understand it, Donald Trump and all the people in Congress will make way more sense of what they're doing, even though you'll disagree with what they're doing.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
What about Jeffers calling out all the mega churches yesterday?
Again, Vic, I just saw flashes of that because I just haven't had my time to be researching like I normally do. But he did, didn't he? Say yes. What you want to about it. He called him out, right? Called him
out. Called him out.
Hey, listen, here's all I'm saying, man. I ain't going to get into it, man. All right, buddy. Hey, God bless you guys. Thanks for hanging in there with us this week. Thanks for all of you.
Safe travels, Coach.
We'll be home. I'm going to be home sleeping in my own bed tonight. God bless you
all. God bless you, Coach.
Amen.
Thanks.
Amen. See ya.